refrigerator. And has anybody heard this? A couple people heard of it. There was somebody in there who recorded the message. I mean, who recorded the sounds of the tornado and the sounds of the people inside this cooler. And it was shocking to hear, first of all, how loud and destructive the tornado was. But second of all, it was surprising to hear all those people in there praising God in the midst of this tornado. You know, I'm imagining that this was afterwards, that these people went through the heart of the storm, this tornado, and survived. It's first of all shocking that they survived. This was a tremendous tornado, and the force and everything from that tornado was mind-boggling. And these people, out of quick thinking and resourcefulness, hid inside that cooler. And I believe God preserved those people through the prayers of his saints inside that cooler, and all they did was come out with scrapes and cuts. It said they didn't even have to open the door to get out. They climbed out through the holes that were in a backside that had been left. But nobody inside that cooler got slurped out. Nobody got killed out of that cooler. They all got taken care of. You know, that's just, you know, it speaks to God's work in prayer. It speaks in, you know, people joining together in prayer. And it also shows that deep down inside, when things get scary, there aren't any agnostics. I listened to that. I thought, okay, these people really do know that there's a God. Regardless of what they say, when there's a tornado like that going over top, people figure out how to pray really quick. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking about prayer. But we're not going to be talking about prayer in the midst of storms and prayer in the middle of a tornado or anything like that. We're going to be talking about prayer in church, which is actually kind of a pretty safe place to pray when you think about it. The kind of the resources that we got came out of this book in chapter 11. This is a pretty nice book. I've read pieces of it. I haven't read the whole book. But it's by a guy named Donald Whitney, and his whole idea is, the book is called Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church. And so this chapter talks about praying in a church. And right off the bat, the chapter starts off with the position that there's lots of people who pray on their own, and there are not a lot of people who gather in church to pray. Now, whether or not you agree with that premise, his idea was that Americans are typically rugged individuals and they don't like to get together in groups and pray. And whatever, you know, it's a good way to start a book chapter. But the bottom line is, it is beneficial for us to gather as a church and pray. I just want to stop here for a minute and recognize that this isn't at all to diminish the importance of our own personal time of prayer. You know, that this is saying, yeah, you guys have your prayer time. We all need to pray when we're alone. But what we're going to be focusing on tonight is a little bit more on why it is and what we do when we gather together. Really, we're going to focus on why we gather together and pray. So, just to reemphasize, individual prayer is modeled throughout the Bible. It's a personal and intimate time with our Heavenly Father. We read about Jesus getting alone to pray, and he's our ultimate example. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says that Jesus rose very early in the morning while it was still dark. He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And if you keep on reading in that passage, he prayed until Peter and Andrew came and found him. So while he was dark, until those guys woke up, hunted around for him, and found him, Jesus was off praying by himself. Mark chapter 6 also says, after he had taken leave of them, he went up to on the mountain to pray. Luke chapter 6 says, in these days he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. So there's our example. That's Jesus spending gobs of time off by himself in prayer. You know, when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, I just want to reemphasize this because we're going to be talking about corporate prayer. And I thought it would be good to get on the soapbox of, hey, you all, be praying by yourself too, before we go into corporate prayer. Matthew chapter 6 says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God's good. He knows already what you need. Go into your room, find your time alone, seek the Lord, draw near to God. One of the things I like in the Old Testament is the example of Daniel. And Daniel spends some time in prayer, but the law got changed. You were only allowed to pray to the king alone. And Daniel, in opposition to that prayer, in opposition to that law, went up and prayed. And he prayed in a way that everybody could see him. Listen to what it says. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, that's the law outlawing any prayer except to the king, he went to his own house where he had windows in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. It's important not only for us to pray alone, but it's more important for us to pray than to obey the laws that the land might have. That just shows how important individual personal prayer is. So let's focus now on corporate prayer a little bit more. So corporate prayer is one of the marks of the New Testament church. You see right off the bat in the New Testament, in the early church, new believers in Christ spending time in prayer. You also can encourage people who are weak when you're together in prayer, weak in faith, weak in the spirit, both to pray and to continue in prayer. How many of y'all have ever come to a time of prayer and you're just wore out, you're tired, and you don't think you have anything more in you, and then you hear somebody, you know, praying with all their heart, and your own heart starts to warm and stir inside, and you're like, you know, their faith is adding to your own faith, and it gives you strength, and you start, before you know it, you're excited again. You're enjoying the Lord again. You know, you've gone, because of praying together, you've gone from being somebody who is wore out and to the end to somebody who's ready to go out and fight again. United prayer is also often linked with effective gospel outreach and effective times of ministry in a church. The preacher needs your prayers. We need to be praying for revival and for reformation, because that's got to be God moving the hearts of people. If God doesn't change people's hearts, there's nobody's going to get saved. We need to pray for evangelism and missions and the people who are doing outreach way over there, and even the people who are doing outreach maybe in their own backyard, right? And we need people to be praying for us. You know, there's scary times. And we need the brethren and the sistren lifting us up in prayer. So let's go back. That was kind of the outline. So back to the first point that I kind of made here. It's one of the marks of the New Testament church. And the key verse for that comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. If you haven't memorized that before, I recommend that that's one of those verses that you jot down and memorize. It's one of those good, deep, doctrinal verses. It says, and they, that being the church, back in this day, by the way, that was the whole church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I count four things that the early church did. Four things. Children, what's the first one? Yes, you all are children. What's the first one? Yes, children, what is it? Teaching, that's right. So the very first thing is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Are you all paying attention? Okay, good. I'm glad you're paying attention. All right, so the second one is that they devoted themselves to fellowship. The third thing is that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And lastly, they devoted themselves to prayer. If y'all are in a gospel choir, it's time to go. Goodbye. I'm sorry. So, out of the four things that the church devoted themselves to, one of those things was prayer. And I think that the church followed Jesus' example and spent long hours together in prayer. And people, that's our example. We need to be gathered together in prayer. We really don't have to go any further than that. That's the example we see in the early church. That's the example we should be following. We already saw the example of Jesus. Let's just continue doing that. At this point, I could sit down. But I got a few more things to say. I want to continue to exhort you. Because look at Acts chapter 1. Even before the Holy Spirit came down and they had tongues of fire on top of their heads, before all of that happened, they were, in chapter 1, verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers being Jesus' brothers. They were all together. That's kind of like a church gathered together. They were of one accord. That's not a Honda Accord. That means that they were united in thought, mind, and purpose. And they devoted themselves to prayer. So I want to point out one other thing. Turn to the book of Jude. We'll be in chapter 1 of Jude. Verse 20. It's near the back of the Bible, in case you're looking. It says in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Can you look up to verse 1 and tell me, anybody, who the book of Jude is written to? What? What's it say in verse 1? To those who are called. You are right. You are exactly right. But it says there, to those who are called, and those are Christians. Yes, ma'am. Christians are commanded to pray, right there. It's what the New Testament church did. Now, I want to also let you know that prayer, and we talked about this before a little bit, prayer encourages others. And the example I want to give you comes out of Matthew 26, verse 38. Where Jesus was in the garden and could have used some encouragement himself. And what did he do? He went there to pray, but he asked the disciples to pray with him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 says, then he said to them, that's his closest disciples, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And they fell asleep. which is kind of sad. But the idea was Jesus wanted encouragement. He wanted his friends there with him while he's praying. And this is what we can be doing to others when we gather together in prayer. And when we're lifting up God, lifting up to the Lord concerns from one another towards God, that will encourage and strengthen the brethren. We also rejoice together when we see God answering prayer. That's right. You know, you see it, you read about prayer requests on Hope Book, you hear about prayer requests on Sunday morning, or, you know, even here on Wednesday evening, we got some prayer requests going on right now, and we together can rejoice in God. I love going out at nighttime and watching the shooting stars because I see God at work when I see that. Or a thunderstorm coming with a lightning, you know. It's awesome and it's amazing. But I love to hear about answered prayers. I'm seeing God at work during those times. I don't get tired of that. It's a good thing. I just got a new car. And folks in my Bible study were lifting that up in prayer. And now we as a Bible study can rejoice together in God's goodness. It's a blessing. So, you know, I am talking about the church, but I did want to reach back to the Old Testament a little bit too, because Old Testament folks prayed together. We read today already 1 Kings chapter 8, where Solomon was in front of the whole congregation praying, lifting up all their concerns before the Lord when the temple was being dedicated. I kind of like this example of corporate prayer. It gets kind of back to the tornado story. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 14. Y'all know what was going on in chapter 1 of Jonah? There was a big storm happening on a ship. And there was a bunch of sailors there. And they were not believers in God when they came on the ship. But I'll tell you that they were believers in God when they got off the ship. Listen to what they said. This is just as about they're going to pitch Jonah off the boat, right? Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. You know what? I want to jump in there. I didn't copy this into my notes. I just want to jump back there and look real quick at Jonah, because the very next part is awesome. Oh, I want to read it. It's, you know, minor prophets. I'm looking. I'm getting there. Ha. So they throw Jonah into the sea. And so they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. It stopped. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Had a ship full of conversions, I think, going on that day. They became Jewish. So, and later on in the book of Jonah, in chapter 3, we see another example of corporate prayer spurred on by the fear of the Lord. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. We're not talking about fasting tonight. That'll be another time, I'm sure. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. That's prayer. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. An example of corporate prayer moving the hand of God. It's an example of people being united together in fear, humble fear before the Lord. they're recognizing that God has the power to smite them. And the king took off his robes and put on sackcloth. You know, beautiful robes, and exchanged it for something that is not. Put ashes on his head, dirt. And humbled himself before the Lord and ordered all of his people to humble themselves before the Lord. As a nation or as a city, they humbled themselves before the Lord and it pleased the Lord. We as a church need to follow that example because God is awesome. He is a loving God, but he is also an awesome and mighty God. And we need to make sure that we're not treating God lightly. Even though he does want us to draw near to him, he wants us to come close and love him, but we need to remember that he's the king of the universe. Both things are so true of God. Listen to Psalm chapter 107. I don't know, when I read this, this could have been referring back to the folks that were on the ship with Jonah, but it probably, there were storms in the Mediterranean all the time, so it could have been referring to any ship that was out there in the middle of a storm. Starting at verse 23, it says, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered from them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." You know, the next thing I want to talk about is prayer is linked with effective gospel working and with the church experiencing and seeing God working as well. Look at Acts chapter 4. This is one of those passages in Acts that I treasure. We'll start at verse 23, but I'll back it up and let you know that the disciples have been kind of taken in, and the Pharisees ordered them to not teach in the Lord's name, and they reprimanded them and then released them. And here it says, starting at verse 23, "When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God." Together to God. That's probably important, right? They were united together, lifting their voices to God. "And said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Excuse me. I like the part where it says, the place they were gathered was shaken. God allowed them to experience an earthquake to give them reassurance. And what it says right after that is that they continued to speak the word of God in boldness. Their prayer and God's strengthening, their answer to their prayer, caused them to go out spreading the gospel even more boldly than ever before. You know, it also doesn't seem to necessarily say in the Bible anywhere that you got to have a whole mess of people together. You don't have to have a humongous group together to pray also. Because look at Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. There's two guys alone, and they're in prison. And this is back in the day where they didn't have electric light bulbs. And so in the middle of the night, in a prison, it's going to be dark. And you're not going to be able to see anything. Have you all ever been into a dark room with the doors closed and all the lights out? It is really, really dark. So that's what they're in the middle of. Yeah, go ahead. Well, you know what? You just imagine it, but we won't turn the lights out, okay? Because I don't want to scare you. But you know what? Can I give you just one little assurance? This is what they call a rabbit trail. God protects you even in the dark. So you don't really need to be afraid. But I know why you feel that way, because I've felt that way before too. But God will protect you even in the dark. So anyway, back to this. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. It says, about midnight, that's late at night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I love that. I love that because here they are in prison in the middle of the night and they're singing praises to God. In prison. And the prisoners were listening to them. Probably Paul and Silas were good singers. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. That's God at work there. That wasn't an accidental random earthquake that happened to hit this one little building and make all the prison doors come open. That's God demonstrating his power. And you know what the result of this was? The jailer and all his family got saved. God uses prayer. God permits our prayer as a church to affect the gospel and to cause him to do great and mighty things. That should encourage us to pray as a church. Because just imagine with me for a little bit the power of God. Can you imagine it? I can't. Because it's big. I was at the air show this past weekend, and I saw a jet truck. It was a truck with a rocket engine, with a jet engine, all the way that stretched from the nose of the truck to the past the tailgate of the truck, okay? And we watched that thing shoot flames and smoke and all that stuff, and it drove down there, and they fired this thing up, and they released the engine. And I was standing there, and it was going to pass about 50 feet away from me. I was so excited, and it came flying. I mean, it was just not off the ground, but it came moving fast. Zing! And when it got about to right there, I realized I should have been wearing earplugs. I got an experience like I haven't had before. There was an animal instinct of fright or flight. I had to get away. I almost dropped my camera. Because it was all I could do to try to get my ears plugged while I'm taking video at the same time. But I want to give you that little thing. That was one jet engine. And that's not even a fraction of the power of God. And it made me want to run away like a little scared girl. Almost dropped my camera. So, okay, I'm sorry. Like a little scared boy, okay? Yes. And it was one of those things where I was just, and can you imagine how fearful it is to come into the presence of the Lord? And how awesome and mighty God is. You know, man can create something like the space shuttle that goes out into space. That's way, way bigger than that little bitty rocket truck that I got to see. We can build skyscrapers and dig out tunnels that go underneath the ocean and stuff like that. But God can form the earth. God can create light by just saying that it would be there. That's the power of God. And that's what we have access to when we as a church are praying together. And wouldn't we want to have that access and that kind of power? Brothers and sisters, we need to pray as a church. We need to be united in prayer, trusting in faith, waiting in God to act in His sovereign will. He's a loving and good God. Anyway, I'm going to press on. The preacher needs your prayers. And listen to what the apostle had to say for his own self. And he's a pretty awesome preacher. He was speaking God's word. Paul writes in Romans 15, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Ephesians 6:18-20 says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Colossians 4:3-4 says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Pastor Leek and Dr. Plumley aren't in prison, but they need our prayers. And Tony Gadula, who may soon become an elder at our church also, needs our prayers. He's about to go overseas to the Philippines. He needs our prayers. The missionary families that we know overseas, we'll get to them in a minute, but they need our prayers too. The folks who are in leadership over our church and teaching our congregation need our prayers, because teaching is something that incurs a greater judgment. And because they're going to be tempted to all kinds of things. We want to make sure that those guys are not disgraced. We want to make sure that they're teaching God's word accurately and bringing it to us correctly. We want to make sure that they stay humble before the Lord. We want to make sure that God's word is going to go out and do what God intends it to do. And so we need to be lifting them up in a prayer. Paul desired that of all the churches that he ministered to. And we as a church need to do that also for our elders. We need to pray for evangelism and for missions. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brothers, and this could have gone in the section before, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. So he's telling the Thessalonians, you know, God's word affected you to salvation. Pray that as we go out and minister to others, that the same thing would happen in those places as well. So we need to pray for our missionaries, that they would be, that God's word would go ahead of them, that it would be effective, that people would be saved and ministered to. We just read Colossians 4:3. It says, pray for us that God would open a door to declare the mystery of Christ. That's a paraphrase. But that's basically what it is, that God would open a door. And when I hear that, I think of a door into people's hearts, because people are hard. They're stubborn because they're dead. They're dead in their sins. And nobody's going to get saved unless God opens that up. God has to wake them up, make them alive for the word to be effective in their lives. Pray for that. You need other people to pray for you. I need other people to pray for me. So we as a church need to be praying together for one another. Now this is a passage that's got some tickly stuff that goes along with it. But James chapter 5 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." It has great power because it has God's power behind it. Do you hear the command there? Pray for one another. Let's be obedient to that command. Matthew 26:38, which we already read, gives the example of Christ asking his disciples to pray with him in the garden. And 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I desire then that in every place the men should pray." And that's probably one of those passages that could be interpreted as men and women. Okay? "In every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling." And if you didn't get it, chapter 5 makes it very clear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. This is one of these verses that's really hard to memorize because of how long it is. It says, "Brothers, pray for us." Those are the ones when I was in Sunday school I'd be looking for so I could chalk up another verse in the memory. First thing. You know, first thing is Jesus wept. Yeah, and eventually you get to, "Brothers, pray for us." Hint, hint. It's a good thing to memorize too. Listen to the command. Did you get it? "Brothers, pray for us." It's pretty straightforward. Not much guesswork in there. I don't have to kind of go around for that a long time, but maybe you say it a couple of times. The command is, "Pray for us." Got it? Got it? That's the command. So, this is an opportunity for people to raise their hand and answer back. How can we pray for the church? How can we pray with the church? What? Come to church. Okay, come to church. What do you mean by come to church? Attending church? So we can pray together. There you go. Come to church. There you go. Even better. Okay. He's already met his maker. He's a believer now. Kinda. Yes. That's the last point that I gave, and I'm glad you brought that back up. We need to be praying for one another. But kind of the point here is praying together. And I like what you guys said so far. You got to show up, but even better, show up early. Raise your hand if you know that there's a prayer meeting before the church service. There is. Before church starts, there's a prayer meeting. It meets over in that room over there. And people can gather together and be obedient to this command to pray for one another. How else? Go ahead. By words of God. I'm sorry, what? By words of God. Okay, by words of God. That's a safe answer, and I like it. Tom? Exactly. Then, in theory, we would all be joining together as we're apart, praying and lifting up needs that we have in church. We have a prayer meeting on a Wednesday evening service time where we don't have any teaching. We just gather together and pray. Make it a point to be there. Yes.
I think of that and I said, okay, something is, I pray for you. And you pray.
Yeah, and along with the prayer sheet that Tom talked about, we have Hope Book. How many of y'all have seen prayer requests out on Hope Book? Lift those things up in prayer. There's people in our church that are hurting. There's people in our church that are struggling. And it's such a joy when we see the Lord work in their lives and answer those prayers. It's a blessing to pray alongside of our brothers and sisters and to be concerned for them. You know, I think this is the easiest one. And y'all, it's right here, so that's why you guys didn't say it. Y'all come out on Wednesday evening. You got points already if you want operating on a point system. Wednesday evening service is an opportunity in general to come out and pray with one another. We have an opportunity to share prayer requests and lift those up before the Lord together. That's an opportunity to be praying for one another. Is anybody here in a flock group or Bible study? There's a hand. Oh, there's a bunch of people. There's another opportunity to get together and to pray and to lift one another up in prayer. How many of y'all write down or keep track of the prayers that the prayer requests that you hear asked of you? There's a couple. I recommend get a book or something and carry it with you so that you can have those prayer requests, so that you can go back to them and reference those things and wrestle in prayer for your brothers and sisters. There's nothing in the Bible says you got to get one of these books, by the way. But I think for me, I'm short of memory. And if I have something like that where I can pull it back up and look at it, that really helps me. Now, you know, that's a lot of things to do. And I know that people can't make it to all those things. I just want to say, I want to encourage you to strive to be together with the body to pray. Because of all the reasons that we saw so far, God's moved when people are gathered together to pray. There's no doubt that God's moved when people are by themselves and praying. God hears and answers prayer. It's accessing the strength and power of God. It encourages the brothers and the sisters. It gives us an opportunity to rejoice when we see God acting and working. It's an opportunity to be prayed for as well when we're struggling. And when we have needs, it's an opportunity to be together lifting up our missionaries and praying for them as well. But regardless of whether or not you can make it to all of these things, we as a church need to make sure that we prioritize these things so that we're making it to as many of these as possible. Now, I know you guys are all prompt Sunday morning attenders, and you show up a little bit early so that you're here to church, so that you're prepared in your mind and your heart, ready for worship. Or on Wednesday evenings, you guys are all here and that's awesome. And you struggle and you strive to get here to Wednesday evenings on time so that you're ready to go when the worship starts. And that's such a wonderful thing. I just want to encourage you to continue to do that, to be timely, to set your clock earlier if you need to make it to church when church is started, because it's such a blessing to be there from start to finish, honoring the Lord and rejoicing together. It's a sweet time of fellowship that we have on Sunday. Do you have a question for me? What's that? There you go. Did you all hear that? She said, prayer is a very good thing. So, I think that says it well. When we gather together as a church, it's not an optional thing, really. There's going to be things that are going to interrupt our schedule and make it difficult to get to all of them, but we need to strive to be there, to be a part of the body, to strengthen and encourage one another. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to pray together, for your blessings and for your kindness, that you, Heavenly Father, are honored when we pray because we're being obedient. It's how we can demonstrate our love for you. It's how we can demonstrate love for one another. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to strengthen us as a church, to grow us up in trust and faith, and to demonstrate that trust and faith, God, as we are together in prayer. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would be honored in our church, that you would, Heavenly Father, not just make us mentally aware of how important this is, but we would be driven from our hearts, God, to gather together in prayer, to enjoy one another's presence as we lift up needs and concerns, to inconvenience ourselves, God, to do what is right for a short time while we're here on this earth. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to serve you this way. Please forgive us, Heavenly Father, when we're weak, when we stumble, when we forget how important prayer is. Help us, Heavenly Father, to walk by faith and to rally our flesh to get to church, to be together with prayer, to do, Heavenly Father, what you desire and to be pleasing in your sight. It's in your name we ask. Amen.